It's good to be here again tonight. Appreciate you coming. Enjoyed the choir and the singing. If you have your Bibles, if you turn with us to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, we'll be reading verses 25 through 28. First Chronicles chapter 27, verse 25 through 28. This throat's starting to get a little scratchy on me, so I may need to take a water break a couple times during the message, but you pray for us. The Lord will give us strength. First Chronicles 27, if you'd stand. We'll read verses 25 through 28. You pray for us. We could be a blessing to God's people and lift Him up for a few minutes tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 25, the Bible says, "And over the king's treasures was Amaveth the son of Adiel, and over the storehouses in the fields and the cities and in the villages and in the castles was Jehonathan the son of Uzziah. Over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezri the son of Chalub. Over the vineyards was Shimei the Ramathite. Over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi the Shifmite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baalhanan the Gederite." Notice this phrase. "And over the cellars of oil was Joash." And over the cellars of oil was Joash. If the Lord would help us tonight, we'd like to try to preach on the keeper of the king's oil. The keeper of the king's oil. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your blessings to us. We thank You for these that have come tonight. We thank You, God, for the songs, for the choir, for the Spirit. And Lord, thank You most of all for Your Word. We pray that You'd bless Your Word tonight, God, that You'd anoint it. God, that You'd help us to be a blessing to Your people. God, that You'd help us to lift You up. God, that You'd give our voice of strength, God, to proclaim Your Word. Most of all, that Your Holy Spirit would, Lord, be in our midst and help us in a special way. God, we thank You for the altar services of both Monday and Tuesday, and we pray You bless us with another one tonight, and we'll promise to give You the praise, honor, and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When it comes to the work of serving the Lord, God uses many different ways to get His work accomplished. And we find that these approaches are often in direct contradiction to the world's methods of being successful. For example, in God's work, He's told us that if we want to be great, we must be willing to serve. He's told us if we want to gain, then the way to do that in His work is to give away. He's told us if we really want to live, then we got to die to ourselves. And these are philosophies that are so much different from the world's perspective. In the verse we've read tonight, we see another example of how different God's formula for success is. In 1 Chronicles 27, we find that in the Lord's work, one might do His greatest deeds for God in the most unlovely of places. You know, a lot of times we think that the greatest work that we'll ever do as a Christian is in the confines of a beautiful church facility. But I suggest to you tonight that a lot of times the greatest things we'll ever do for our Savior won't be in a church, won't be in a sanctuary, won't be in a place of comfort and ease, but many times it's in unlovely places. Many times it's in unexpected places. Many times it's in unwanted places that God uses us to do His greatest work. You say, "Hoy, can you prove your point?" I believe I can. I believe I could take you to a little manger setting in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago where God chose an unlovely place to do some of His greatest work. God chose Mary and Joseph to serve His purpose in an unwanted place. And I imagine if Joseph and Mary could have chosen the place where they wanted the King of Kings to be born, they would have chosen a clean place. They would have chosen a respectable place. But God says His ways are not our ways. And our thoughts aren't His thoughts. So in that dark, smelly stable, the fairest child never come forth from a mother's womb came to this old earth. Because Mary and Joseph were willing to serve in an unlovely place, God was willing to have His Son enter this world in an undesirable place. Because of those things, we can say tonight, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son has been given." But folks, sometimes God allows His children or ask His children to do the greatest deeds in service in undesirable places. Daniel did his in a lion's den. Joseph did his in an Egyptian prison. The three Hebrew children did theirs in a fiery furnace. David wrote some of his most powerful songs in a cave. And John the Baptist was asked to preach out in the wilderness. So many times the greatest thing we'll ever do may very well happen in an unlovely, uncomfortable place. Sometimes God asks us to serve in difficult places that we normally wouldn't choose. And that's what we find tonight in the text that we've read. We're introduced to a man by the name of Joash, whom God asked to perform a very important task in an unimportant place. Joash was assigned the task of being the keeper of the king's oil. You probably know in the Bible, the oil represents the anointing of God. It's a picture of the sweet Holy Spirit. And let me say to you tonight, no one can preach without the anointing of God. No one can sing without the anointing of God. No one can teach without the anointing of God. And back in Bible days, oil was used for a very important use in Jewish society. They used it for religious things. They used it to fuel the lamps. They used it for medical purposes. So the person who was in charge of guarding the oil had a very important job. But listen, Joash, he wasn't just a keeper of the oil. The Bible says he was a keeper of the king's oil. Now, how many know tonight? It's the king's oil that makes a difference. It's not man's oil. It's the king's oil. And so we see that in chapter 27, David has named his son Solomon to be the next king. David is appointing officers and counselors and workers to serve along with his son Solomon. And it must have been an exciting day around the palace for those invited individuals who'd be receiving their new job assignment from King David. I imagine there were high hopes and high goals within David's ranks. And some would receive the position of their dreams. I can see them gather there on the palace steps that morning. They've come to the palace and the king's spokesman is beginning to read off the job assignments. There were theirs who wanted to be appointed overseers of the gold. There were those who wanted to be appointed overseers of the king's field and the storehouses of grain. And one by one, the positions are being read out. I don't know what Joash was expecting that day. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if Joash was like many others, I'm sure he was hoping for a prestigious appointment. I'm sure he had high hopes and aspirations. But listen, when his name was read, this was all he heard. And over the cellars of oil was Joash. From a human perspective, he must have been a little bit disappointed about the position he was assigned, because it wasn't most desirable. Can you imagine when he went home that day? His wife meets him at the door. She kisses him on the cheek and she says, "Honey, did you get your appointment today? Did you get a job on the floor of the palace?" "No, honey, that's not what I got." "Did you get something out in the fields or in the storehouses of grain? Did you get a job looking over the king's gold or silver?" "No, honey, I didn't get that either." "What appointment did you get? Where in the world is the king going to have you serve?" And I can see Joash put his head to the ground and say, "The king has put me as low as a man can go. He's put me down in the basement. He's put me down in the cellar. And if God will give me the voice, I want to show you three things about Joash that we can learn tonight." Notice, first of all, the place of service was not desirable. He didn't choose to work in the basement. He didn't choose to work in the cellar. He would have never chosen this particular place. Where he was asked to serve was in the lowest part of the kingdom. It was not a desirable place. What are you saying, Hoy? I'm saying sometimes in God's work, we're going to be asked to serve in undesirable places. We're going to be asked to serve and do jobs we didn't sign up for or we didn't choose to do. What made it undesirable? Well, first of all, Joash would be unnoticed. There would be very few people passing by the place where Joash would be serving. Nobody ever would come down to the basement. It wasn't like the servants in the palace who would be seen by the king's men each and every day. No, he was in a dark, dingy basement. And no one would ever come running to him and say, Joash, you're the keeper of the oil. Because few, if any, would ever make their place where he was serving. Not only that, but it's very likely that Joash would never be seen by the king himself on a regular basis either. It was like the fact that the king might never make his way down to the cellar to see where Joash was working. It was a thankless job that wouldn't bring much recognition. But here's what's important. The king asked him to work there. The king asked him to serve there. But it was a job that was unnoticed. Secondly, it was a job that was uncomfortable. Had the king ever decided to make his way down to the cellar to see what Joash was doing, Joash would have not dared stretched out his hand to shake the king's hand. Why? Because his hands were dirty. His hands were filthy because he worked with oil. He transported oil. And oil, you know, attracts dirt. It doesn't matter what kind of oil it is. It might be crude oil. It might be oil pumped out of the earth. It might be Wesson oil. But if it's out there, it attracts dirt. What are you saying, oi? I'm saying sometimes in God's work, we're going to have to do the dirty job. Sometime in God's work, we're going to have to get a little dirty to do the work of God. So it was a dirty job. It's a grimy job. Imagine when he would go home, his skin and hair would be covered with dirt and grime because he worked in a dirty place. Not only was it a dirty place, it was a dark place. There were no windows in the cellar. It was dark down there. They had to burn torches for light. Can you imagine the smell? He'd come home reeking of kerosene and coal oil. So it wasn't a desirable place. But once again, I say, the king put him there and asked him to work there. What are you saying, Hoy? I'm saying God has a specific place for all Christians to work in His kingdom. So everyone in the work of God has to be somewhere, has to have a specific place. It may not be the most desirable. You might go unnoticed. It might be uncomfortable. But in ministry, it's not always the most desirable position that counts. You look at our Savior and what He did. The Bible says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, yet the Son of Man hath not a place to lay His head. His whole life was about sacrifice. His whole life was about being uncomfortable. And here we are in 2009 with our fancy technology and our cutting-edge facilities. And we got preachers trying to tell us we don't have to sacrifice in God's work. That's a bunch of baloney is what it is. But he sacrificed, so we have to sacrifice. And that's what our Savior did. It was an undesirable place. It was an unseen place. Thirdly, it was unappreciated. I doubt if anyone ever came to town and walked up to Joash and thanked him for the job that he did. We mentioned it was an important job, but he was unseen. He was unnoticed, and therefore he was unappreciated. You know, it takes a special person to stay put and serve the Lord, even when you don't get recognition. Even when the situation doesn't bring recognition. So the place of service was not desirable. Secondly, the purpose of service was defined. Joash was the keeper of the king's oil. He was the guardian of the oil. Oil was a precious commodity in that day. He kept the oil that prepared the king's meals. He kept the oil that prepared the king's lampstand. He kept the oil that burned in the tabernacle or temple. It was an important job. He was the guardian. He was the watchman, the protector over the precious anointing oil that they poured over the heads of priests and kings. And it was Joash's responsibility to make sure there was ample supply of oil at all times. It was his responsibility to see that oil was used for what it was designed for. And the position wasn't desirable, but it was important, church. It was a significant job. It required someone who would do it faithfully. And just like Joash did many years ago, we need Christians in this day and age that realize our most important spiritual commodity is the oil of God. Amen. The spiritual oil of God. Amen. It's not our facility. It's not our property. It's not our talents. It's the oil of God. The anointing of God. Amen. And in 2009, We need some people like Joash that'll say, I'm going to watch over the king's oil. I'm going to guard the king's oil. I'll watch over it. I'll protect it. I might not be able to sing or preach or teach a Sunday school class, but everybody can be a prayer warrior who guards the oil, who protects the oil the church is anointing. Let me say to you tonight, the devil doesn't care how nice our buildings are. The devil doesn't care how talented we are. We never won anybody to the Lord with our talent. But he knows what makes the church powerful and precious is the holy anointing oil of God. And so we see with our spiritual eyes, if we could look out into the services that we're in and watch the good shepherd in the spiritual world applying the oil to the hearts in the pews, applying the oil to lost sheep, applying the oil to sick sheep, applying the oil to hurting sheep and stray sheep. That's what makes the difference in God's work, is the oil of God. We cannot operate without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can get by without buildings. We can get by without social activities. But we can't do what God's called us to do without the oil of God on our lives, without the power. But listen, if we're going to guard the oil, it has to start in a personal level. We have to guard the oil on our hearts. We got to make sure that we have ample supply of the Holy Spirit. You say, Hoy, how much is an ample supply? For me, I like it running over. I like to come to church already filled with the oil. And when Dad starts preaching, that oil starts brimming over. And I end up standing to say, glory to the Lamb of God. I'm talking about the oil. I need as much of it as I can get. But listen, church, there's not room in our lives for flesh and fire. There's not room in our lives for flesh and oil. So the question is, how much room does the Holy Spirit have in your life tonight? We got to guard the oil. We guard it in our hearts. Secondly, we guard it in our homes. We need to guard the oil in our homes. There'll be peace and love and forgiveness in our homes when there's ample oil. Oil in our hearts, oil in our homes, and then there'll be oil in the house of God if we take care of the other things. Amen. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive. When He's grieved, He won't come. When He's quenched, He'll leave. When He's offended to and lied to, He'll leave. And it's a miserable situation when there's no oil. Amen. It's a miserable situation when the Holy Spirit's not there. Joash had an extremely important job. But he had to serve in an unimportant place. There were people counting on him to guard the oil. And the same can be said of you and I. I told our church how sad it would be if all those folks made their way to Sefner next January for our camp meeting. And they came and found something missing in our services. The buildings are still nice. The food's still good. The people's still friendly. But if there's not the anointing, if there's no oil, what a sad day that would be. And I confess to you tonight, we can't do what God wants us to do without the oil, without the anointing. And we need some people to stand guard over it. So Joash, the place of service was not desirable. Secondly, the purpose of service was defined. Lastly tonight, the person of service was divine. Who was Joash watching the oil for? He was watching it for the king. He wasn't watching it for the governor. He wasn't watching it for the general. He was watching the oil of the king of that country. The most important man in that country. The king entrusted him with it. The king is who asked him to do it. Joash's first choice wasn't to work in that dirty cellar. But he served there because the king wanted him to do it. He was in service of the king. And friends, if we keep our minds upon the Lord and continue to remember who it is we're working for, He'll give us the strength and grace to do what He's asked us to do. In April of 2006, our school went through an accreditation process, which involved about 12 people coming to visit for 2.5 days. They visited our classes. They met with our school board. They met with our students, and they finally got around to meeting with us as administrative staff. They brought us into the church nursery. They began to ask us about our organizational structure. And they asked me to explain what it is I do at the church and the school. And I began to explain to him the things that God allows me to do. The people that He allows me to serve with. And here I am in that nursery in front of these agencies, accreditation people. And as I start thinking about what God's allowed me to do, I begin to feel that oil. I began to feel that sweet Holy Spirit slip into that nursery. And as God reminded me of what He's allowed me to do, I almost started to weep. And I thought to myself, you cannot bust out crying in front of this accreditation agency. You can't bust out crying while these people are trying to decide if your school deserves accreditation. But listen, the oil came by. And when the oil comes by, you don't know what happens when the presence of God comes by. I gathered myself, and I was able to make it through. And through the end of the day, we met in the cafeteria. And our teachers were introduced to this accreditation team. And they were introduced. We shared some information with them. And our computer students had put together a PowerPoint presentation on why they loved the school. They put it to music, and they began to play it. And as they played it, I watched the faces of the students and the faces of the teachers. And you know what happened? Here came the oil again. Here comes the sweet Holy Spirit again. And He began to bless me. And I had to get up in front of the teachers and in front of the ACSI team and talk again. And this time I couldn't hold it in. This time I began to weep. Not because anything was wrong. Not because I was under pressure or attack. But it was because of the oil, the presence of God. And that's what the presence of God will do. Joash had a very important job. He needed to watch the oil for the king. What are you saying, Hoy? I'm saying the most important thing in your church is the oil of God. The most important thing we have to guard and watch over is the anointing of God. What do you think the devil would like to get his hands on in 2009? You think he cares about how good we sing? You think he cares about how talented we are? But if he can get his hands on the oil, if he can get his hands on the Holy Spirit, he'll make us no different than any other organization that meets. It's the anointing of God that makes the church the church. Amen. I'll close with this. In August of 2008, our teachers came back from their summer break and they began in service. That's always a busy and hectic time, but it's a sweet time too because we have devotions as a staff every morning. And I shared this very message in devotions that day. And the following morning, my brother-in-law, his name's Mark, he's our business administrator. He stood up and he shared this story. He said he was waiting on a serviceman to come and do some work at the school. And it was on Wednesday afternoon. He had spoken with the guy by phone. And the man was supposed to arrive earlier in the afternoon, but he'd gotten lost. He'd never been on our campus before. And Mark said by the time he got there, he said the serviceman was a little miffed. Wasn't in a real good mood. He was a little short with Mark. So Mark took him to where he was supposed to do the work. And he was going back and forth from his truck to get tools. And he said to Mark, he said, what is this place? Mark said, it's a church. And we have a Christian school as well. And he said, really? Mark said, yeah. He said, well, what grades do you have? How many students do you have? And Mark answered his questions briefly because Mark was trying to get some work done too. So there's no extra conversation going on. And Mark said the man kept having to go back and forth. But every time he'd go back and forth, he'd see our people coming to God's house. He'd see the young people going in for youth. And he comes up to Mark and he says, there's something different about this place. This isn't like other places where I go to do service calls. Mark walked him over to the cafeteria where he had to work on some things there. And he said, what's going on here? He saw all those precious kids going in for the youth service. And Mark said, this is where our youth meet to worship and praise God. And Mark watched him and he's soaking it all in. And Mark said, it became very clear to me that this man was encountering the presence of God here on our campus, maybe for the first time in his life. The serviceman said, I like it here. He said, I'd like to come back and do some more jobs here. He said, you got nice kids in there, friendly. And I want to ask you tonight as we close, What was it that grabbed that man's attention? What was it that changed his attitude in a span of a couple hours from being miffed to becoming curious? Was it our facilities? No. Was it our abilities? No. Was it our location? No. It was one thing and one thing only. It was the oil of the Spirit of God. It was the presence of the Spirit of God. And so tonight, church, my challenge to you is this. How much does the oil mean to you tonight? How much does the anointing of the Holy Spirit mean to you on your church and your family and your preacher and our country? Because we need some Joashes to step forward tonight. We need some Joashes that'll say, it might not be a pleasant job. It may not be an easy job. But with God's help, I'm going to guard the oil. I'm going to stand watch over the oil. Joash, the keeper of the king's oil. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? As they come to get a song of invitation. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, and you're here and maybe God has said to you, I need some people to protect the oil. I need some people who are willing to guard the oil. The Holy Spirit is the most special commodity we have spiritually in the church. And if the devil can get his hands on it. That's why there's so many dead, dry churches across America. Because no one's watching the oil. Nobody's guarding the oil. If someone has been spoken to, if the Holy Spirit has dealt with your heart, and you say, I'll be one who watched the oil. I'll be a watchman on the wall. I'll be a Joash. I'll do the job that no one else wants to do. And God, I might not be able to sing. I might not be able to teach Sunday school. I might not be a preacher. But I can guard the oil. I can be a prayer warrior. I can lift up my pastor's arms. If God's spoken to your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to come. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Maybe you never asked the Lord into your heart. We want to give you the opportunity to come and invite the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Would you stand with us? Dear Lord, we love you. We pray, God, your Holy Spirit would do, God, the work that only He can do. If you've spoken to someone's heart, God, that they would come, God, bless us with an altar service. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As they sing, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, would you come tonight?
Number 81.
Would you come? Say, I'll guard the oil. I'll be Joash.
Without one plea.
I'll be a guardian of the oil.
Praying. Just as
Lord spoke to your heart,
I am the will
be someone who guard
the
oil. Watch over
you.